morning and happy Easter to each and every one of you. What a glorious day that the Lord has made. And from the very first Easter morning, Resurrection Sunday, has meant so much to all Christians everywhere. Let us begin this morning with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we're able to worship you together. Some are here, but most are in their homes. We pray for them. We pray for their safety. We pray, Lord, that this pandemic will be over with soon and we can all come back to this, your house, for worship. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for this Resurrection Sunday and what it means to each and every one of us. You died, and you were raised from the dead for us, for our sinful selves. Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray, amen. This morning we're going to start our worship service with a special music from Mike. But before Mike comes up, a special announcement. And that special announcement is from Renee. Renee Sauls has made some masks. So if anyone needs any, that very talented lady, if you contact her, she can get you what you need. So we thank her, and God has blessed her with talent, and she's using it to the glory of God. Now we'll turn this over to Mike.
Good morning. This is just an old hymn of the church. And I ask you, if you will, right where you're at in front of you, your iPads or your computer, just sing along with us, okay? On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish
trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday.
Happy Easter to everyone.
Thank you, Mike. What would we do without wonderful, glorious songs at this special time of year? Our scripture reading comes to us from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. And this is the very familiar scripture reading about that Sunday morning. So may we listen to the Word of God. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I excuse me, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go, tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." This ends the reading of God's holy word. Many, many books have been written in an attempt to explain the mystery and the meaning of Christ's resurrection. They want to do it accurately. They want to do it adequately. And yet, sometimes words just can't do it justice. When we see a morning sun, or when we see the sun going down, it's so beautiful. How can you put that into words? When you see a rainbow, how can you justify that? How can you explain that to somebody that is not a believer? How can you say just the right words? Justification. This is one of the biblical explanations for the resurrection of Jesus Christ according to our scripture. The term justification refers to the gracious act of God in which He grants someone a position of acceptance in His presence. The term comes from the Roman court of law, and it refers to a judge's action when he declares that a particular person is not guilty, they're innocent, they're acquitted. But when God justifies us, He forgets our sinful past. That's one reason He died. That's one reason He was raised on that third day. We have been given a family position before God in which we can enjoy peace, we can enjoy harmony, we can enjoy happiness with God and all of God's people. By Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, God solved humankind's sin problem and made possible the forgiveness of guilty sinners and their return to the Heavenly Father's throne, our Heavenly Father's home, in harmony and in peace. Christ died, as the scripture says, and was raised from the grave so that we all might be forgiven of our sins and have a home in heaven. Our scripture gives us four reasons why Jesus was raised from the dead. Number one, Christ was raised from the dead to throw light on the mystery of His death on the cross. The death of Jesus is beyond full human comprehension. If you recall, when He was first hung on the cross, there were so many people taunting Him. If you are the Son of God, show us. Come down. He wouldn't do it, would He? There was a purpose for Him being up there. No group of words, no group of phrases contains an adequate or a complete statement of what took place at Calvary. It's hard to put into words. It's easy for you and I to put some of it together because we are believers in Christ. We are believers in the triune God. But people who do not believe in God have a problem understanding. But praise the good Lord, we don't have that problem. Amen. While the death of Christ is the controlling theme of the New Testament, we will still search in vain for a concise statement concerning its meaning and its significance. Christ's disciples had great difficulty, didn't they? Trying to understand the mystery of his death. And every time he would bring it up to them, they didn't understand it. Peter, James, John, they all had the same problem. They didn't understand. We can't throw arrows at them because we have the end of the story. We have this Holy Scripture to tell us what went on. For the disciples, his death was a cruel, horrible murder at the hands of the wicked, the ungodly men of the Roman Empire. It was a public disgrace. It was a personal and a political tragedy. With despair filling their hearts, they fled in fear. They thought they were going to be the next ones. Only after the resurrection were they able to comprehend the Lord's teaching on just how it had been written that he must suffer and die for the sins of all people. Even in the Old Testament, there are several places there that they talk about the Lord coming and His people received him not. The second reason that he was raised from the dead, Christ was raised that he might be with his apostles and his disciples, according to Matthew 18, verse 20. Our Lord promised to accompany his disciples while they proclaim the good news of his love for each and every one of them. When they met together for prayer and for worship and for fellowship, he would always be in their midst. He promised that. A dead Christ could not abide as a powerful force in the midst of his disciples, could he? He had to be raised from the dead. Glory, hallelujah. As our Lord gave his great commission, he promised to be with his disciples always, even until the end of the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He promised not only them, but he promised us the same thing, that he will be with us. Christ gave instructions concerning the Comforter who was to come in his place. John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you and be with you. If that's not comforting words, I don't know what is. Our Lord kept this promise on the day of the Pentecost when he came into the Holy Spirit to dwell in and with his church until his victorious return. The third reason that he was raised from the dead was to demonstrate the power with which the disciples would work as his servants. Ephesians 1, 19 and 20 tells us this. Our Lord promised his disciples that when the Holy Spirit came, they would have the power necessary to carry out his redemptive mission in the entire world. Paul described the power in which the servants of Christ labor as resurrection power. It's the same power that God used in the creation of this world, ministering effectively to needy people requires access to and utilization of this spiritual power. When you meet somebody on the street or Walmart, I know you can't meet them now, but whenever, and Christ gives you just the saying that he wants them to hear, and it comes from your mouth. Where's that power coming from? It's coming from Jesus Christ. The fourth reason Christ rose from the dead was to deliver his disciples from the fear of death. Now we know, and we kind of chuckle a little bit, that they were so afraid that they were going to be next. But John 11, 25 and 26 tells us that they were in fear. However, with Christ being with them every step of the way, with Christ being with us every step of the way, we just don't have that fear. Now, within a certain guidelines, we do have a little bit of fear of this coronavirus, but I don't fear it. I just don't. God will take care of us if we use our common sense. The disciples, and we have had a Bible study on the disciples, how they lived, how they were chosen, why they were chosen, and how they died. And our scripture tells us how several of them died. Some were martyred, being crucified upside down. One was beheaded. I mean, there was just so many ways that they were martyred. But they came to a special knowledge that the Spirit of the Lord had given them, that they didn't fear dying. They had a more important task, and that was to go out, spread the word of God, build churches, and praise the Lord. We too have that same task to do. And this morning, Resurrection Sunday, it's more important than ever that we understand this great commission that Christ gave his disciples, but he also gives it to us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. But let me back up. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. We need to adhere to that. All power is heeded to the disciples and to us. Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death, according to Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. And by his resurrection from the dead, he demonstrated his power over death, and he proved the reality of immortality in Jesus' promise. We have hope for victory over death. There's a song that we sing quite a bit that means a great deal to all of us Christians. Victory in Jesus. One of the greatest songs ever composed in my book. Because it tells us that our hope is in the Lord, and our victory is also in the Lord. Because he conquered death, we can look forward by faith to a similar victory, according to Revelations 1, 17 and 18. It's the highest act of wisdom to put faith and trust in a Savior who loved us to the extent that he was willing to die for us, that he was willing to shed his blood on a cross. And again, there's a song. The blood of Christ. I just get cold chills when I think about it. Again, one of our favorite songs that we sing here quite a bit. He conquered death and he conquered the grave. That gives us the hope that we too will conquer the grave. We too will conquer death. We too will be just like the disciples, living with Christ, who is a living Christ. Christ alone deserves to be the Lord of our lives. Christ alone can lead us through both earthly life and eternity. Let the risen Christ become real in your heart today. There's so many people in our world, and we come in contact with them daily. Not so much now, we're isolated. But there's so many people in the world who do not believe in Jesus Christ. And yes, they're called atheists. However, I was reading a book last week about a man who was a charter member. I didn't know they had charter members of a Antichrist movement in Kentucky. And he was voted the vice president of this group. He had cards made up about, on one side of the card, it had his name, and he bragged about being an atheist. On the back side of it, he said, if you are stronger with your life in Christ, you prove me wrong. I sure would love to meet him. Well, somebody did. That's why he wrote the book. His daughter was in a wreck. She was on death's door. A doctor come in and he said, before I tell you what all I've got to do to save this young girl's life, I would like to have a word of prayer. The guy said, I'm an atheist. He said, good, let's pray. And he prayed, and he prayed. And he said, he finally got down on his knees next to the bed, and he was crying. And he said, I want the risen Savior that is real to be in my heart today. And if it be His will to let my daughter live. And she lived. She was runner-up to Miss Kentucky in the whatever that beauty show is. God can get our attentions. He got this man's attention. And the young lady that was spared what she had to tell others about was Christ the Lord and Him risen from the dead. That was her theme. And it was the first time in the history of Kentucky, this beauty queen, there showed that somebody had praised God like that and let that be the theme. And she was runner-up. What a glorious God we serve. And we thank Him for this Resurrection Sunday. And may God bless each and every one of you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, as we come into this, Your house. We thank You, Father, that You did go to that cross that Friday. You did suffer and die. You shed Your blood for us. And Father, when You were put in that tomb and that rock that was rolled in front, it couldn't hold You. The tomb couldn't hold You. And we are so grateful that it could. We're thankful this morning, Lord, that the Holy Spirit can now live in each one of us, that it can direct our lives. And we thank You, Father. We just thank You for everything that You do for us. All the people around the world that have this coronavirus, we pray for them, Lord. We pray for the doctors. We pray for the nurses. We pray for the first responders. We pray for all the people that have to be around. And we ask Your blessings upon each and every one. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.